every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. They're doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
And welcome aboard. It's another edition of Sports Overnight America, cross country and around the globe here on iHeartRadio and Sports Byline. Some of our great affiliates like WGCH in the Gold Coast of Connecticut, on the Gold Coast of Connecticut, Greenwich and Company. As we talk the world of sports, Simple Radio as well, and TuneIn and TuneIn Pro, and of course at SportsOvernightAmerica.com, click on Listen Live or SportsByline.com and the American Forces Radio Network. You think we got a few distribution outlets? Indeed, we do. Dominic Jimenez along the way. We're going to talk to Philip Chang. He's been on this program before, a former D1 athlete. He is a partner in the Venable Law Firm, a Division I athlete in his past, and a name, image, likeness in terms of those deals being structured, brand rights and college athletics policies, NCAA, JUCO, colliding with eligibility, and all sorts of goodies. But name, image, likeness since June is now closing in on $100 million. And so, you know, the wild, wild west, as it is affectionately referred to in college sports, is alive and well. Although I think respectfully, Attorney Chang will weigh in that it's getting better. I don't know about that. We're hearing, you know, all sorts of crazy stories about these collectives and all the other things. And, you know, some schools are simply overmatched, that it's free agency. There's a great divide between the haves and the have-nots. So we'll see. It's way over the tip of my skis. I just have to ask the right questions and just wind up Phil and let him go. So that's what I'll attempt to do here in mere moments. He'll join us in the first segment. And then we're going to grab Mike Griffith in his Tuesday spot with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Sports Overnight America. I love talking to this guy. We'll look back and we'll look ahead at college football as we roll into, you know, the middle to the latter part of September. You know, Thursday night we'll get a little Rice, a little at Charlotte, ESPN. There's a whopper, huh? But here in the Midwest, there'll be a little juice for Iowa at Rutgers, a place where teams go in the Big Ten and really struggle. I mean, you're playing at a glorified high school stadium. They call it SHI. You could add another letter to that in Piscataway, New Jersey. That game will come up Friday night on Fox. So anyways, we'll look into it past and present, the world of college football in detail. Coming up on Sports Overnight America.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together, and we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American. America we need right now. America. Premium vodka. Celebrate responsibly.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Talking the world of sports here on a busy Tuesday to a Wednesday overnight here, Sports Overnight America, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Pro, and Simple Radio, and around the globe on the American Forces Radio Network, SportsOvernightAmerica.com. We've had him on before, and it's great to get him back. Philip Chang, a former D1 athlete. He is a partner with Venable Law Firm, and he is very versed on the world of college sports, but in particular, the name, image, likeness, and all that is going on with the transfer portal and some other litigation and some other legalese, which is tough for us to untangle, but who better to get them? Philip Chang, I'm Marty Terrell. Thanks for popping on Sports Byline and Sports Overnight. How are you, Philip?
I'm good, Marty. How are you doing?
Good. I appreciate getting you on here. You know, they're closing in on nearly $100 million in name, image, likeness deals, so that's far from nil. It's a lot of money. You know, the first question I'm tempted to ask before we get into the meat and potatoes is, I mean, is are college sports just professional sports disguised as college sports? Because to me, amateurism is out the window. Let me ask you that question, then we'll get into the meat and potatoes here. Go ahead.
That's a great question, and I think for certain sports, you're absolutely right. I would say for football, we're absolutely headed in that direction if we're not already there, and certainly men's basketball as well. Some would argue women's basketball as well is already there. You said it. We're close to $100 million in deals. A lot of that's not approved yet. I'm sure that we'll get into that shortly. But there are deals in the pipeline waiting to be approved, and we're at $80 million right now. It's a great time to be a college athlete in certain sports. There's no better time than right now.
Yeah, and, you know, the words that are bandied about, Philip, are, you know, it's the wild, wild west. But you think right now that the college sports commissions, you know, by virtue of a flow report, you think this imagery of the wild, wild west is probably being tempered a little bit? Is that fair to say, Philip? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And just to give folks at home just some background, right? So we had the landmark House versus NCAA antitrust settlement that paved the way for schools to pay athletes directly. And it also created what you mentioned is the College Sports Commission, which is an enforcement arm basically to ensure that third-party NIL deals are within a range, a fair market value range that we are getting away from the wild, wild west, right? Think of the times where you had, you know, the car dealerships offering, you know, certain players millions of dollars to transfer schools, $7 million to come play for certain schools. The whole point of the College Sports Commission is to get us away from that. And so recently they announced or they released a report showing, I guess, what it's trying to show their progress in curbing those kind of deals. So what we have now is we have a system where third-party NIL deals have to go through a clearinghouse. So any third-party deal over $600, an athlete has to submit it into this system, and they there's a lot of things that go into whether or not a deal gets approved. It's going to go, what sports you play, what position you play, how many followers you have on Instagram, what are similar deals with other athletes in different markets. So it's sort of a black box. We don't know the algorithms that go into this thing, but athletes are supposed to submit their deals. And it clears you or doesn't clear you. So, I'm looking at the inaugural report that was released a few weeks ago. So between June 11th and August 31st, just in that short time frame, there were over 8,000 deals submitted, total value of $80 million. They cleared a large amount of that. They cleared over 6,000 of those deals valued at $35 million. So there's still about $45 million worth of deals that the College Sports Commission is still sifting through, and they're going to look at, is this NIL deal, is this a true NIL deal, or is this sort of that pay for play, the stuff that we're trying to get away from. And so to answer your question, I think, submitting these reports or publishing these reports periodically is helpful. It's helpful for athletes to know that they are getting. They have the opportunity to capitalize on their name, image, likeness. I personally would like to see more. I'd like to see more transparency. If you just Google College Sports Commission, Google the NIL deal flow report, you'll see it's a lot of top level stuff, not a lot of granular stuff. I'd like to know, how are these deals broken down by sport, by position, by gender. I think the public should know, how many deals are these, how many of the male athletes compared to female athletes, and what's the breakdown of, how much, people are getting paid. But I do think it's a step in the right direction. I think it's going to get better. I think as more people talk about it, I feel like the College Sports Commission will, start releasing more and more data. Transparency is key in everything in life.
No questioning. Philip Chang with us with the Venable Law Firm. Outstanding, extremely well-versed on name, image, likeness, the portal. And, this whole name, image, likeness is also sprouting some legal tentacles into the eligibility. Junior college athletes now are showing up at four-year schools. And, what happened to my five-year window of 4 years of eligibility, Phil? So, we got all sorts of little inner machinations, and Jamori Robinson, I think, at West Virginia, and three or four others are challenging this, are they not? Or maybe I don't have that right. Let's hear on that, because there seems to be legal tentacles sprouting or in and around all this stuff. Let me hear.
We are at an inflection point, I believe. There are many cases right now challenging eligibility rules. You mentioned the Robinson case. That was an interesting one, where several players, I think four of them, joined together in the Robinson lawsuit. They're all West Virginia football players asking for a fifth year. Similar to Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt, his appeal was actually mm-hmm. heard today. So just to give folks some background, right? So he played 2 years at JUCO, argued that the NCAA's counting of his year at JUCO towards his NCAA eligibility violated antitrust rule. The lower court agreed with Pavia, granted him a year. The NCAA appealed it, and it's on appeal. Pavia's playing, obviously, as folks who follow football know. So while he's playing, the case is on appeal. His appeal was heard today. The NCAA has agreed that he gets to play for the rest of the year. They've agreed that everybody's sort of similarly situated as Pavia gets to play for this year, but they're fighting it for future players, I guess. And so Pavia, Robinson, there's the Elad case. These are all players who are challenging NCAA rules. We're getting a mixed bag. It's really dependent now on where you file, what state you file, what courts you file in. If you file a case in Tennessee or California or wherever, you might get a different result depending on what judge you get. Ultimately, what we need to see is these cases get appealed. It's going to get to the Supreme Court, just a matter of time. And the Supreme Court is going to decide the issue of whether or not the NCAA's eligibility rules, whether they're legal, whether they can restrain, whether they can force players, hey, you get 5 years only, or you get 4 years only, or you're, you know, hey, even though we're the NCAA, we get to count your JUCO year. Even though the JUCO, you know, the NJCA has nothing to do with us, we get to count your year. So we'll see. You know, and then you have Congress stepping in. Congress is the closest it's ever been to passing a national federal standard on NIL and eligibility. So we'll see, you know, if that develops at all. Either the House of Representatives is supposed to vote on that pretty soon, but we'll see if it happens.
I'm going to ask Dom if he'd give us one more minute because we've got a floating break here. And I just want to ask you this, Philip, and I wish we had more time, but we're going to effort to get you back soon. But I want to know about what happens to Title IX. Didn't Title IX create a lot of, you know, a lot of angst where swimming, lacrosse, some of the non-revenue, quote-unquote non-revenue sports kind of, you know, were barking? Is Title IX, does anybody even talk about that anymore?
It's actually big right now. There's a lawsuit pending right now whether or not schools, schools can directly pay players. Does Title IX require schools to pay, you know, between male and female sports equally or proportionally? Mm-hmm. That's a big debate right now. There's other ongoing litigation whether or not, you know, there's a school, I won't name it, but, you know, just recently elevated, I think it was cheer or something, or elevated it to an NCAA sport so that they could say, hey, we offer just as many female opportunities. A lot of litigation around that. It's definitely not center stage, but it's ongoing.
Philip, let's do this again soon. There is a lot of water to tread through, and you are super. You really do. You take complicated things and simplify them, and we really appreciate it. Thank you, Philip. We'll do it again soon. Thank you kindly.
Thanks, Marty.
There you go. And we'll wait for that Vanderbilt decision today, too. How about that? So we'll break a little news on that. Dominic, thank you for being flexible. Mike Griffith warming up in the bullpen. The manager is tapping his left hand. So we'll go to the portsider, Mike Griffith, from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. College football coming up.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624. Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
All right, talking the world of sports here, Sports Overnight America. I want to give a shout out to WGCH Greenwich, Connecticut. Hey, Boston Red Sox affiliate on the Gold Coast of Connecticut. They're gearing up for the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black coming up, not this weekend, but next. It'll be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, USA and Europe. Can they take command on home soil in Farmingdale, Long Island? We shall find out. But let's get it in here. Let's turf of college football, synthetic or otherwise, the real grass. He is Mike Griffith of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And Mike, you know what I like on Sunday morning, getting up, reading the AJC and seeing your game story and then your coverage. You guys do it. What do you got, three or four writers on the Georgia Bulldog beat? Would I have that right?
No, man, on that game, I think we had four or five. So, you know, it kind of marshaled all forces and still had some folks there at Georgia Tech as well. So big weekend football for the Georgia football teams.
As far as college football goes in 2 weeks, man, that game on Saturday, bro, you and I talked off air. I felt like we were doing a talk show today. It was great stuff, so I wanted to save some for our airwaves. We got a high standard to reach, but what a game. And, you know, we'll go to other key plays, but that false start on the kick, I said to myself, what are you doing? Sit still, because that was it right there. I knew he was going to miss the kick. I knew it. And it's not the 5 yards. That 5 yards turns into 50 yards inside his head. I mean, the kicker just totally had his routine kind of fractured by that move. Am I overstating that? And you saw some other things down the stretch that were instrumental, and including a thing or two early on that you thought were very telling. Let's hear, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You know, anytime you interrupt, you know, that's why coaches freeze them, right? But you get a penalty, and it does change the mindset. You know, maybe changes how much velocity he thinks he's got to bring on the kick. Changes a lot of different things, changes the angle a little bit. You know, anything that interrupts what he had pre-rehearsed leading into that kick, thinking 38 yards, 38 yards, 38, now it's 43. And more time. And, you know, just pushed it wide to the right. Now, you saw in overtime, you know, he was able to get his mind right, kick a 42-yarder like it was nothing for Tennessee to start out. Obviously, Georgia scored a touchdown to win it. But, no, I think you're on point there. I thought the biggest play in the game, and not necessarily the best play in the game, and there were a lot of great plays, but it was Kirby Smart in the first quarter. He's at his own 48-yard line facing the 4th-and-7, down 21-7. Now, that point, you know, Joe Aguilar's 14-of-14 passing for 213 and two touchdowns. You know, that's what Tennessee's done. And you're getting ready to gamble down 21-7 at your own 48. If you don't make it, Marty, that's big problems for Georgia because Tennessee's in the rhythm. You're giving them a short field. Really critical play, though. I think Kirby sensed that he had to change the momentum in that stadium. And they pick it up. Gunner throws a slant to Zachariah Branch. And, boy, has he been a game-changer for Georgia's offense. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. He caught the game-tying two-point conversion pass as well. But, you know, runs a slant. Gunner sticks it on him. And they go on to drive. It's the beginning of 20 unanswered points. So that gamble by Kirby Smart. Meanwhile, by the way, while Georgia scored 20 unanswered points from the second quarter on, Tennessee has 5 series and 20 plays and generates 57 yards. So hot, red hot Tennessee gets cooled off by Kirby going for the fourth down, converting it, scoring a touchdown, closing within 7, changes the momentum, gives his defense more time to catch their breath because Tennessee was wearing them out in the first quarter, had all the momentum, until Kirby Smart made a Hall of Fame call.
You know, it's a great point, and I remember the play, but I didn't put that much emphasis on it. But when you really put it in that context, you know, you're down 21-7, man. You give up. I mean, seriously, you punt the ball and they score, like you just said. You're in huge trouble there. You really are. How about the, you know, Kirby, he doesn't panic. He didn't panic in that game. And I thought Gunnar Stockton and Kirby said it. I mean, that was just coming out, was it not? He looked outstanding. He really did. And like you said, the 4th-and-7 conversion, then the 2-point conversion. There's just a lot of things that came together. Gunnar Stockton, go ahead.
Yeah, no doubt, Marty. I mean, you know, yeah, he came in and won the Texas game, and he was the quarterback of record, you know, that pulled it off after Carson got injured on the last play of the first half. But really, they really relied a lot on their running game. Made a couple throws there, but for the most part, that was running game defense and, you know, Kirby Smart, you know, fake punt. And then Notre Dame, he didn't get it done. He didn't. You know, they had a good drive, opening drive. They coughed it up inside the Irish 10. That was 7. And then, of course, Gunnar suffers a strip sack fumble, you know, inside his own 15. That's a Notre Dame touchdown, then the Irish kick return. The Irish won that game with less total yards than any playoff team to win a game. I think they were under 250 total yards. But key moments in key games, Gunnar wasn't able to produce them. You know, we had the benefit of the G-Day spring game. A lot of people didn't see this, but he was kind of inconsistent. You know, they really struggled to get the ball in the end zone. Now, they were going up against their own defense, but still didn't really see Gunnar make the progress that I would have expected through the spring. And in the first two games, they just didn't show you anything. It was just Kirby didn't have his foot on the accelerator. You know, he was working the running game, working some very, you know, vanilla route trees, not really wanting to show anything. But this game, Gunnar Stockton was pressed into action. This isn't the way Kirby wants to win. He doesn't want that quarterback to have to make these clutch plays and carry so much. But Tennessee was scoring. Tennessee was resilient. And it really forced Gunnar to dig deep and just turn it loose. There wasn't any time to be careful in a game like that where Tennessee's running plays and scoring, you got to score. So to your point, a really huge building block for Gunnar Stockton. Needed a game like that going into the bye week before Alabama comes between the hedges a week and a half at Sanford Stadium.
Mike Griffith, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, our college football insider. We got to go to Vanderbilt. And then we're going to drift after the break. We will drift into the whole nation, and we're going to start right in Atlanta with Georgia Tech. We have to. I mean, it just the king has just been unbelievable. Here's where I want to go with Vandy, though. Clark Lee, I mean, Notre Dame guy, but really a Vandy guy because he was a fullback there for the Commodores back in the early 2000s. But look at this, Mike. You've got, and our own Brock Hines called it. He said they're going to go into Columbia and they're going to blow South Carolina, or at least beat South Carolina, and they did. Georgia State, Utah State, then they go to Alabama. Well, we know the Tide's going to have payback big time on October 4th. A bye week, LSU at home, Missouri at home, before Texas, Auburn, bye week, Kentucky, Tennessee. So we can't get too pumped up about the Commodores because they got a gauntlet coming up in October. Let me hit here.
Yeah, they do, and on a program like that, you just wonder about the quality of depth. But so far, so good. I mean, 31-7 on the road under the lights at South Carolina. Now, Lenore Sellers did get knocked out of the game with a concussion in the second quarter, but still, it wasn't like South Carolina was lighting them up. I mean, you look at the final stats, they're pretty even, except that South Carolina with 4 turnovers and Vanderbilt with 1. Vanderbilt, straight up, a better football team and ranked number 20. So, to your point, you can't get too far ahead with teams like Alabama and Texas on the schedule. But, hey, they beat Alabama last year. They played Texas within 3. Now, granted, that both of those games were in Nashville. But as someone pointed out to me, every game's a road game for Vanderbilt because most often they're outnumbered in their own stadium. That's everybody's favorite road trip, right? Everybody wants to go to Nashville. And Vanderbilt fans, there's just not a lot of them. It's a small private school. So this is a team that's dangerous because they can win home or away. They just proved it to you. They got a really – a superb quarterback in Diego Pavia. I mean, talk about a veteran. You know, this guy's been around the block and been around it. You know, he got that successful appeal for another year of eligibility this year. And really panning out for Clark Lee, real Cinderella story. But, yeah, for now, you kind of applaud and pat him on the head. You got to see what they're going to do against Alabama, Texas. See if they can win those games. And then they're fringe playoff contender.
I don't know that I looked at his numbers. I don't think I did. Eli Stowers, I mean, this kid, former quarterback, was he not? Transfers in?
Who's that? I'm sorry, Marty, I missed that.
We got you, Mike?
Yeah, I didn't hear.
How about Stowers or Stowers? I mean, this kid transferred in. Wasn't he a quarterback?
Gosh, off the top of my head, I
Eli,
really
Eli Stowers, Stowers, Vanderbilt, wide out.
What do they have him listed as? Yeah, he had 45 yards receiving in this game. So, you know, you wonder how Clark did it when you think about how, London Humphreys, the guy that catches it. That's a Vanderbilt transfer. A lot of guys left there, that could have been really great players. So, you really got to kind of give Clark Lee credit for, being able to continue to reload the roster. Again, private school, not considered a real, football factory when you think about it. So, I think a lot of what he has done there, I think that Vanderbilt truly has the talent to get it done. As far as, Sowers goes, he was at New Mexico State before. He is a transfer. You ID'd that properly. And, just another weapon in the arsenal. You got a 6'4", 235-pound guy. That's a tough matchup for anybody.
I love it when these schools like Vandy do what they do. I really do. And it started really last it's not a big game if you beat them because you're supposed to. At least it used to be like that. It's only a big game if you lose, and Alabama found out that last year. All right, Mike, you sit tight right there. We're coming back. Georgia Tech, that was the early game, and Clemson is reeling. And then we'll look at Notre Dame and a few others. Keep it right here with Mike Griffith and Marty Terrell here on Sports Overnight America. Coming right back.
The John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. They're doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect, and by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here. Moment together, and we will start today. Don't ever forget how great it is to be American. America we need right now. America. Premium vodka. Celebrate responsibly.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
All right, welcome back. Apologize for some internet glitching here. We'll hopefully get that addressed. It's on my end. Let's get Mike Griffith back in here. Mike, we have reconnected, and hopefully it'll be much better. Georgia Tech, what's the overall mood? I mean, you got Georgia doing what they're doing, so often, if not always, overshadowing the Yellow Jackets. But I'll tell you what, that was impressive. It really was. You know, Clemson made the run at him, but you know what? Georgia Tech answered in a big-time way. What's the mood around the Yellow Jackets right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a can-do program, right? I mean, getting by Clemson, that's a big hurdle. I think it's the first time they've done that in about 10 years. And, you know, Haynes King, I mean, here's another veteran guy, Marty. I mean, the guy's going to throw for over 200 yards, but he's also going to rush for over 100. I mean, you got a true dual threat like that. It is really tough to stop him. Clemson obviously had some issues, played from behind, but, you know, caught up, looked like they might do a Clemson thing. But, you know, then Georgia Tech nails a 55-yarder. Time runs out, field gets stormed. I mean, They're believing in Brent Key, you know, and they should. I mean, I think the ACC, we've talked about it. You know, we think it's kind of wide open. Obviously, Miami is off to a really good start. Florida State as well. Clemson seems to have fallen from the running. But Georgia Tech now, a contender and another team that, you know, you got to look at and say, hey, could we possibly see this team in the college football playoffs?
It's very distinct possibility if they keep it going. I'm looking at their schedule, and it's not, you know, I mean, it's never easy, but there's a real possibility. I want to stay in the ACC, but, you know, I want to make a point about that 55-yarder. They did it with a running clock and no timeouts. I don't know what's more difficult, that, the 55-yarder in a fire drill fashion, or the aforementioned kick in Tennessee where the left tackle or guard moves and then 5 yards becomes 50 yards. You know what I'm saying? I almost think the Georgia Tech kicker doesn't have time to get tight. I mean, seriously. And he would have made it from 65.
Yeah, the question there becomes the protection. And the trajectory of the ball's got to be a little different. You're not going to get it up quite as much. So those interior linemen really have to do their job. It's really, again, a credit to Brent Key. I mean, this was the right hire. This is a guy that played at Georgia Tech. This is a guy that, while he was with the Yellow Jackets, beat Georgia 3 out of 4 years. This is a guy that coached under Nick Saban for a bit as an assistant. And so this is a guy that sees this as a destination job. And, you know, you always love it when a coach is coaching at his alma mater because you know what it means to him. You know what he puts into it. I think all coaches go all in, but there's just a little something extra, especially when it's a guy like Brent Key that's been there when the program had success and understands the program culture.
All right, let's stay in the ACC, and man, oh, man, I mean, say what you want. Miami's the real deal. Mario Cristobal's got a hell of a coach. He's got a great quarterback we all know about. Any idea that USF, South Florida, was going to pull off another one quickly got dispelled. Now, here comes Florida going into Miami, and I feel, I watched the pregame interview with Napier, and they didn't just roll over against LSU, but man, oh, man, talk about a guy walking the plank, huh? Billy Napier, here comes Miami, and he's got his hands full. Give me a quick take on that game.
Yeah, you know, you give credit to Florida, but it's hard to win with 5 interceptions. And I think we all know that DJ Lagway is not healthy, right? And that's the problem. You know, you wonder why the guy didn't have shoulder surgery, why you got him out there. You know, he's not himself. And I don't know where you turn at this stage. I mean, you're pretty far in right now playing with a guy less than 100%, but he's your leader. The team is inspired, clearly. I mean, you only lost 20-10 with 5 picks at Tiger Stadium under the lights. That's the SEC's highest-ranked team, you know, if you believe the polls. So it's going to be interesting. Florida does travel to Miami, Marty. I think that's important. I think if the game was in Gainesville, that would help them out a lot.
But it does. You're right. You're right.
It's in Miami, and Carson Beck is playing good football right now, and he's no stranger to Florida. He's a kid from Jacksonville, in fact. So if anybody understands Florida football, it is Carson Beck, and the Hurricanes are rolling. They've got a good enough program to sustain. As far as South Florida, look, they put 2 really good weeks together. It's hard to put 3 together in that underdog role. You know, they knock off Boise State. They get the win over the Gators. You kind of had to wonder when the momentum would shift, and they ran into a really good offensive line, a really good football team against Miami.
Yeah, and look at Miami. I mean, they got Florida at home, then they have a bye week, and then they play Florida State on the road. They got another bye week before they have a Friday night game with Louisville. So Crystal Ball and the Hurricanes and Beck are really in a good spot. All right, where do we go with Notre Dame? 0-2. I mean, it's not really a head-scratcher. I mean, they've lost to two quality teams, but the fact of the matter is you're 0-2. And that was just a gut-punch loss. To lose like that in South Bend at Notre Dame Stadium is a gut punch. But where do you go with the Irish?
Well, now remember, when they lost to Northern Illinois, because it was a Mid-American Conference team, one loss equaled two, right? And the backs were to the wall. So they've been here before. Marcus Freeman's program has been in this situation before, and backs to the wall. Two losses, you got to think, okay, if they win out, they're still in with two losses, especially when you mention the caliber of opponents. But three losses, it gets tough. Now, the schedule, I think, is pretty doable. I mean, they've got, like you said, Purdue on deck at home. An interesting road game at Arkansas, that's probably one to circle. Arkansas's got a tremendous quarterback and playing that game in Fayetteville. Boise State, certainly winnable. NC State, certainly winnable. They have Southern Cal at home. A little bit of a mystery still with Southern Cal. Boston College, a good team, but if Michigan State can beat the Eagles, I think Notre Dame can too. Navy, Pitt, Syracuse, Stanford. So what we're really talking about, Marty, is the Arkansas game. To me, that's going to be the make-it-or-break-it moment. I think they can beat Southern Cal at home. Those are the two most dangerous games left on their schedule. Other than that, I think you can go ahead and pencil in all wins. I think you got to focus on that Arkansas game. Here in a couple weeks in Fayetteville.
Mike, I'm telling you, I told you Texas is going to lose three games this year, and the Irish are too. They're going to split between North Carolina State and USC. You wait and see. They'll lose one of those games. And the one I think they'll lose will be NC State, because they're going to be hearing about USC. They just do. I'm just telling you, I don't trust this team right now. I love them to death. I'm very open and honest about that. I like Freeman, but I'm just telling you right now, this season took a huge turn on that final drive in the final seconds of that game. Where else did I want to go with you? Oh, just looking at the top, you know who I love? And you brought it up last week, but I didn't really let you go full blown. I think Oregon might be the best team in the country, oh, by the way. How about that for a statement? They are unbelievable. Now, granted, it was Northwestern, but the Ducks, the quack attack, they're lethal. They never stop. Go ahead. Give me a take on Oregon.
Well, I mean, I think Dante Moore is, you know, kind of flown under the radar. I knew about this kid when he was in high school at Martin Luther King High School in Detroit. And, you know, I think he's really talented. You know, already this year, 657 yards passing, seven touchdowns and just one interception. Now, how tested are they? Montana State, Oklahoma State, Northwestern, on the road, early kick time. I get it. I'm like you, though. I'm bullish on the Oregon Ducks. I think that their schedule is going to get tougher, but I like Dan Lanning. I mean, if I was a financial planner and he was a stock, he'd be the guy I would tell you to put in your portfolio. I don't know how long he's going to stay in Oregon. He's obviously got chances to win championships. He's got a good bankroll there. He's in the Big Ten. It's kind of remote. You know, part of me kind of thinks that eventually Dan Lanning ends up back in the SEC. We'll see about that. You know, this is a well-traveled guy. You know, he's going to go where he can win a championship. Right now, he can win a championship in Oregon. Again, maybe he'll be there another 10 years, but, you know, he's going to get a high-dollar offer that's going to come rolling out of the SEC before long. We're going to get the answer, though, when they travel to Penn State in 2 weeks. That's where we're going to find out. That's where we're going to separate. Now, again, remember, these teams, you know, could play each other again in the playoff, and if one team loses, doesn't necessarily mean they're, you know, out of the contention. But I think a good litmus test for both the Nittany Lions, who I have number one on my ballot right now, I just think they're more impressive than Ohio State. That Ohio State win over Texas has lost a lot of steam with, you know, Texas kind of struggling a little bit. What was Eli Manning? Or Eli. Arch Manning was, what, 11 out of 25 throwing the ball against a UTEP team? So that Ohio State win has lost some luster for me, and I think Penn State's a better football team than Ohio State right now.
I would agree with you, Mike Griffith. All right, Mike, here's where I want to go. My Big 12 report right now. You made a good point today, and I'm going to let you say it again. You know, I want to start and end with Iowa State. I mean, I'm looking at the USA Today poll, 13 or 14. You know, you got Oklahoma, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M right in front of them. But real quick, you know, great coach in Matt Campbell, but they did struggle against K-State. Iowa could have gone either way there for a while, and then they really struggled in Jonesboro last last week in Arkansas against Arkansas State, and you know they had one touchdown called back, and ended up having to settle for a field goal. That game was a lot closer than people think. Bye week, and then Arizona at home at Cincinnati. You're not believing in Iowa State because of what? Was it that K-State struggle somewhat over in Dublin, or is it more than that, including Arkansas State this week?
Yeah, again, I mean, for me, it's a lot of transitive properties. You know, this team played that team, so how good are they? You know, you see K-State, you know, barely beating North Dakota, losing to Army, losing to Arizona, and you say, wow, that's a team where Iowa State barely beat. Now, in all fairness, teams do change from week to week. It's a survive and advance thing, and it really doesn't matter how good they actually are. Their resume is good right now. When I do my poll, though, I'm going to put my feelings into it, and I don't think that they're, in terms of measuring teams in the country, that's not where I would have them. Just comparative analysis. You look at what Arkansas did against Arkansas State in Little Rock, nonetheless, not Fayetteville, and they just absolutely steamrolled them. So is Arkansas a better team than Iowa State? I would say that they probably are right now. And yet, still, they're a touchdown worse than Ole Miss. And so, therefore, you know, in my mind, Ole Miss ahead of Iowa State. You know, polls don't really matter. What really matters is when the College Football Playoff Committee puts out that first poll. I believe it's November 4th. So plenty of time for Iowa State to get better or prove themselves right, prove me wrong. As long as they keep winning, I guarantee you Matt Campbell doesn't care where they're at in the polls. As long as they keep winning games and they position themselves to win the Big 12, you know, they're going to have a ticket to that 12-team dance.
I agree. I'd rather be Iowa State than Notre Dame right now. Here's what I'll tell you, too. All of a sudden, Texas Tech at Utah is a big game Saturday. How about the Raiders? I mean, that's a huge game in the Big 12.
Yeah, well, you know, we know Texas Tech spend a lot of money. You know, it's not a guarantee that you're going to do great things when you spend a lot of money. You got to be able to manage it. You know, as Nick Saban said, you got to spend a lot of money. It doesn't matter if you don't get the right guys. And so far, it looks like Texas Tech has the right guys. Now, we have to get comfortable talking about Texas Tech as a college football. We know their basketball program got pretty good, but we got to in softball too. But we got to get comfortable with the notion that maybe a program like Texas Tech can you know, we say buy enough players. I guess now we're, you know, buying was back then we said it because, you know, it wasn't pre NIL. You're buying, now you're just paying for them. Now it's okay. Now it's over. These are over the counter prescriptions to fix teams. And Texas Tech is, you know, they're doing more than just fixing a team. They're building a team, and it is interesting. It's intriguing. Obviously, it's a case study in what money can do for any program. There's not a lot of great tradition there. Now, Texas Tech has had success before, don't get me wrong, but not at the most elite level. So they're trying to take that step. I think they're in position to do that. But to your point, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. It's early in the season. When you have a team that's got a lot of transfers, you wonder about the team culture. Not when you're winning. Everything's good when you're winning. But what happens when they stub their toe and get a little bit of adversity? So that question is still out there for me, but we have seen teams that we saw what Ole Miss did. We saw what Lane Kiffin did with transfers. We saw Ohio State buy up some really good SEC players. That worked out for them. Now we see how Texas Tech manages it, not just the coaching staff, but the culture, the players. Can they handle something new, which is a lot of success and expectation?
We're out of time. I'll save Brian Kelly for next week, but he needs to calm down and go easy on the report. Mike, I love you, man.
Marty, he says the fans need to calm down now. We got to figure it out. As long as they keep winning, it doesn't matter who's calm and who's not.
You got it. Mike, good job, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, Marty. Have a good one.
You got it. Mike Griffin, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, our college football insider. Yes, and we come back with a closeout. A little two-minute drill with no timeouts in the quiver. I'm Marty Terrell. This is Sports Overnight America. We're coming right back.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
All right, you think that when quarterbacks go down, it doesn't affect teams, affect fans who buy tickets, and you want to see a Purdy, a Burrow, a Jaden Daniels, a J.J. McCarthy, even a Justin Fields? How about this? Purdy out means Mac Jones. Burrow down means Jake Browning. Jaden Daniels down means Marcus Mariota. J.J. McCarthy down, it means Carson Wentz. Justin Fields goes down, it means Tyrod Taylor. That's what you got to look forward to. Backup quarterbacks, right? Sometimes backup quarterbacks become Tom Brady. I mean, you know, if Drew Bledsoe and Mo Lewis doesn't take out Bledsoe, which we know, we've mentioned that ad nauseum, Tom Brady, who knows? Tom Brady might have been, great somewhere else. Might have been great somewhere else. And, this argument in the book now by Gary Myers, was it Brady or was it Belichick? I'll tell you what, Belichick's the one that drafted Brady. Need we say more? I don't think that really plays into the debate, which is such a tired debate, by the way. It is such a tired debate. All right, let me be a little more of a homer to the East Coast. I'll tell you right now, the Athletics are in Fenway starting tonight, Tuesday into a Wednesday, and I'm scared to death of this team. I mean, they're 150 games in, we're 12 left. They're 70-80. That's not a bad record for a team that has virtual no real identity. They're nomads. They're, playing in a AAA ballpark. They're going to become the Vegas A's or whatever. It's just, it's kind of a roundabout way, a feel-good story. So, and then, oh, by the way, the Tigers roll into Fenway on the weekend. That ought to be lots of fun. All right. Great job out of the whole crew. Thank you, Philip Chang, an outstanding attorney on the name, image, likeness, and the portal in NCAA and the sprouting lawsuits and litigation. And thanks to Mike Griffith for a double dip, a first and a second half. And Dominic Jimenez, as always. I'm Marty Terrell. Giovanna Scroggins is in the air chair tomorrow night at 6 Eastern. I'll be back Thursday and Friday here on Sports Overnight America. Adios.